Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. Just before we went to the break, we got a call from Bill from Dunellen. And I just asked Bill to hang around for a while, and he's been patient with me, waiting for us to get through this break. So go ahead, Bill. You're on. Thank you for calling the Eagle 104.3 FM. Go ahead. What's your comment?
What is the difference between the 15th, 15th Amendment and the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment?
Oh, my goodness. You blindsided me there, Bill. We didn't even talk about that on the break.
I know. And Adam and that's about it.
Well, what were the comments that you made just as you came into that? And I'm going to type something up here so I can have reference for you. And that makes sure I've got a good reference.
So, what is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Liberty and we shall have liberty and justice in peace with our country and our nation. That's the first thing we shall have. And we live in a country, a nation that is somewhat going underground slowly but surely, and the gas prices are going up tremendously, but some of them are staying above average.
One of the things that you said to me before, right when we went on the break, is you said that this peace, justice, liberty has to do with our relationship with God. And, of course, you hear me say that all the time. I say, love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself.
And really what it is my goal is to kind of wake us up to get back to the reference. Obviously, some people say, oh, you're being idealistic and you're make-believe and mystical or whatever. But I picture what it says in Genesis, where God was walking in the garden in the breeze of the day and look and said, Adam, where are you? And, of course, Adam on that given day was one given day was hiding. But just to have the picture, though, if you go to the gospel, the actual, and we don't talk about that really in detail here on the show often, but the gospel really is the point of Jesus coming is to make amends for the catastrophe that began in the Garden of Eden with man doing the wrong thing and heading himself down a catastrophic path that he could not reverse himself on. So really it was to pay the penalty for the sin of defying God is really what the gospel, the good news is about, is that Jesus has come. He's paid the penalty. He's overcome sin and death. He rose again. He's actually in the presence of the Heavenly Father. And that's pretty complex for us to understand. But the point is that he has reestablished relationship that Adam had with the Heavenly Father. About, if you look in the Genesis, about, I think it was right about the time they said when Seth was 230 years old and he had such and such as a son, and they mentioned a time frame, and they said, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. In other words, prior to that, you just had this one-on-one relationship ongoing. But then there was a place in history where it seems that God kind of, or either we pulled away from God or he did that or both happened, and men had to call on the name of the God. And really the whole point of the gospel is that now we have access to having a relationship just like in the Garden of Eden, where we can actually dialogue with the Heavenly Father. And that's, you know, Jesus has basically made a way to cover our sins so that we're not separated anymore. And that's really the summary of the good news. And just to wrap up the comments that we were making on the break about that, and that's really what Bill called about. And Bill, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your question about the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment differences, and I'm going to bring that back tomorrow, and I'm going to make sure that I'm well prepared to talk about it. So you listen in tomorrow on the Eagle 104.3
right.
FM.
And one more question before I hang up.
Okay.
Now, who was your favorite president between the president we have now that you liked the most? And I will hang up.
Okay, good.
Bye.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Well, you know what? Just like somebody else makes something, one of the things is we try to give opportunity for callers to kind of poke us in the eyes a little bit, and we'll address it. The only thing is we got to make sure that the callers aren't controlling the format. That's the difficult part. And we've also got to allow ourselves and train ourselves to love our neighbor as ourself, in spite of what maybe even somebody who's professional radio guys would say, you got to make sure you jump all over that caller. Bill from Dunellen just asked me a question about who is my favorite president obviously, and I'll even open that up to those presidents that happen to be president during the Articles of Confederation. But what I'm going to do is wrap this whole thing up, and we're going to bring it back tomorrow so we can do some substantive discussion on that with the right amount of time. So 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments of the Constitution we'll talk about tomorrow and how it's touching on the issues of the day-to-day. And I'll bring in a discussion about my quote-unquote favorite president and why. So I'm going to keep you on the hook there, Bill from Dunellen. And then just for entertainment's sake, somebody mentioned, and I was going to go to some of the items in the news that I can bring back tomorrow as well, even hooking alongside the conversations that were brought up today. Mark, who calls often, and I allow Mark to get some airtime. I think he had over 70 minutes of airtime in June. At this point, it's kind of an exercise in taking these perspectives of the other side, so to speak, that people think, and letting them come up to the surface, you know, apply a little heat and see what comes up to the surface, and then hopefully dealing with it in piecemeal fashion, not just, you know, from phrase to phrase to phrase to phrase to phrase, connected with commas and conjunctions, but to a point where we can separate those by little periods and try to get them out and just discreetly take each issue and talk about it. One of the things that he brought up, you can find out about my history. I had an opportunity or an obligation one time to file suit against the United States. I was in a situation where the actors in the United States Navy, and as far as the Constitution, if you read the Constitution, it says that the Congress would guide the money spending policies of the Army, the armed forces, or an army, every 2 years, but the Navy was kind of perpetual. So the Navy was established right from the very beginning of the nation, and all the rules with regard to the armed forces are guided completely by Congress. It is not a relationship that you have by contract. You don't make a contract with the military. There are some things, sometimes the terms are used as the term contract, but when you enter the armed forces, your status changes. It's not like you're an individual, that you have your own rights that you've withheld or whatever. You've pretty much put yourself under the authority of the law of the land, the Constitution, the Congress, the Secretary of the Navy, the President, and those regulations and the orders of the officers appointed over you, as long as those officers are giving orders with regard to the law. It's a status. It's a status that's controlled by law. In fact, the pay and quote-unquote benefits that come are not controlled by you. They're controlled by law, controlled by Congress. There's not a committee that figures out what it's going to be. It's controlled by law. It's very constitutional. And essentially what I did, I didn't have a settlement. We filed suit against the United States, and the judge didn't want to do it because they just thought you're not allowed to sue the United States. What he came to a conclusion was, oh, my goodness, somebody whisked Mr. Carmichael out of the Navy against the law prior to retirement against the law and in violation of a sanctuary clause in the statute against the law. And so under the law, the Navy basically has to pay the congressionally determined amount for his pay, back pay, and retirement. And it was according to law. It wasn't according to a benefit program. It wasn't, if you think that somebody serving in the military is basically, he had a good point. I mean, is somebody serving in the military, are you going to pay them? Are you taking their people's money by the power of the sword? That's a good question. I'll ponder that for the next 24 hours. And obviously, if it's a wrong to take money, well, it is something to think about. It's something to think about. We're going to see Mark change my monetary status. Isn't that amazing? But I'm willing to investigate it because is it constitutional? I don't know. To basically give a military guy retirement pay. I don't know. It's basically we couldn't have gotten the money unless we sued him. Now, here's the other problem. I would right now be under their authority to give orders to go off to Afghanistan. The problem is they violated the law so badly, they, under the law, have no authority to send me to Afghanistan because they messed things up so badly. And they finally got to the point where we stopped suing them. I was going to have them put me back into the military, and they could have done with me what they wanted. But they wouldn't tolerate that. They wanted the thing to just stop as soon as possible. And so now they're paying me every month for the rest of my life, yet they weren't able to continue the case because they couldn't tolerate it anymore. And so now they don't have the authority to actually send me off to do anything. It's very strange. It's kind of like this. Somebody said we had a celebration for 4th of July, and there's a bunch of guys, if you're retired, you can wear your uniform to the ceremony. I can't wear the uniform. And the reason why, because I'm not under the authority of the Navy. It's kind of one of these weird, and I just, the picture I got is that it's kind of the spoils of war. It's kind of like we had to take them on under the law, and they are subject to the law, and they have to pay me. It's a weird situation, and I'm not a gold digger. But what happened was I had to, in order to correct the government's behavior, you have to be wronged. And the way to do it in a federal court, you have to be wronged with money. And you have to be wronged with money, not just by contract, but by a congressional authorization of a particular legal or lawful right. So it's kind of heady. It's kind of over your head. It's over my head. And sometimes it gets kind of complicated. And just because we're closing up our show today, it's been a little bit weirder than normal. I want to get to this last segment of this music that I played earlier. And again, the point is, are we considering the issues of the least of these?
Lord, when were you hungry, Lord? And we didn't give you something to eat. Lord, when were you thirsty and we didn't give you drink? I mean, that's not fair. Well, would you like something now? One of the angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke? Yeah. Oh, you're not hungry. I lost my appetite, too. Lord, when were you naked? I mean, that's not fair either, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Well, Lord, when were you a stranger, Lord? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? Oh, Lord, that wasn't our ministry, Lord. We just didn't feel led, you know? But, Lord, when were you sick? What did you have anyway? Well, at least it wasn't fatal. Oh, it was? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I would have sent you a card. One last thing we want to know. When were you in prison, Lord? Well, what were you in for anyway? I had a friend in Leavenworth. Enough! Inasmuch as you've not done it for the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life. My friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to the scripture, is what they did and didn't do.